Hello, hello, Revel listeners. Hey, thank you so much for joining us today. We are super excited. We have our first guest of the season while we came back, kind of kicking off into summer. And so, woo, what a whirlwind it has been. We've been so excited to have been able to bring you some of the topics that Deborah and I have brought you. But first things first, this is the Revel Show. My name is Bianca Reyna. I'm on with my co-host, Deborah Hawkins, and Deborah, tell everybody hi and what we've got planned for them today.
Hi, everyone. Wow, we've got a great show, a special show. We actually have a special guest today, and let me go ahead and just jump in and tell you about her. Mary Meston is on with us today, and she's the owner of Two Store Solutions. And she's a high-performance coach, which I love speaking with coaches around that. She's a multiple business owner. She's worked with entrepreneurs and business owners and professionals. And she really helps people develop effective strategies for their own growth, improvement, and success in their professional and personal lives. She has extensive experience in the coaching, consulting, performance area. And after 3 decades of work in the Fortune 500 arena and in her own 3 businesses, Mary now focuses on helping clients, organizations, and groups achieve better results without necessarily doing more. Yay! We'd love to hear that.
Right? Woo-hoo!
So with that, you know, her desire to help others succeed, you know, by leveraging, you know, her proven paths and those of her clients, you know, now she's helping some of the most successful entrepreneurs, business leaders, and world-class athletes. My goodness, we're honored to have you, Mary. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Deborah. Thank you, Bianca. I'm honored to be on your show. I think so highly of what you do, and I am just so, so happy to be able to share with you and share with your guests.
Great, great. Well, first off, you know this is Revel, so there's usually not a show that goes by that something, you know, and I'm sure it will pop up within the show, there's usually something that's revealed, you know, by one of us that, you know, maybe, you know, people wouldn't ordinarily hear, or maybe it might be something new that you have not shared in an interview before. So I always look forward to, you know, that part. It's like the moment we selected the name Revel, Mary, we had no idea what we were getting into. It is as if consciousness and the universe is always encouraging us to go there and Revel for our people and our listeners. So anyway, thank you for being here.
Oh, you're welcome.
First of all,
that's part of why I love your...
That's why you love our show, yeah.
Exactly.
Yes, you know, we get, we have awesome listeners and we get great comments. And, you know, we've heard that so many times before. You know, we've had speakers on that say, that, you know, that tell us, wow, I'm blown away. I never have actually shared that story before. And then we even have listeners who say, I've heard that speaker speak. Mm-hmm. 10 times, 15 times or whatever, but yet I never heard them in that way. So, you know, I love it. I mean, I think there is something magical about our show because Leonka and I are so dedicated to, you know, telling the truth and revealing and pulling back the curtain sometimes, you know, especially if it's going to help someone else. And I have a feeling that you are that way too. So first off, I'd like for you to tell us a little bit about your background, why you're doing what you do now, mm-hmm. you know, and just how you really moved more into this realm of really doing the high performance.
Wonderful. No, I'd love to share that. And it's jokingly say I have kind of the Green Acres background. So short of a long story, I'm dating myself. Everybody's probably going, what's Green Acres?
You know what? I'm laughing because it's a Southern thing, you know, too. So, and I'm from mm-hmm. the South. So I love that.
Well, my mother was from the South, so I can totally appreciate that. And we, you know, sweet tea and coconut pie.
So I can appreciate that.
That's probably where I got that from. So, short of a really, you know, somewhat a long story. I was born in Wisconsin in a kind of a very impoverished situation. I'm one of four. And we learned to work really, really hard to get by. My parents were Depression-era babies, and they were and had been farmers. And so I learned early on that working and hard work was the way to do it. And so then I took that into my corporate life, my collegiate life, my corporate life, and did everything the way you should do it. You know, got the right job, worked within, within the lines.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, even though I was successful on the outside, people would look in and I had advanced myself. I worked in human resources in a number of large Fortune 50s and 500s. And I looked successful from the outside, but I really wasn't fulfilled on the inside. And with that, I just decided to figure out, you know, why do other people look so successful and happy and I'm not? Mm. I always wondered what they knew. What was the secret sauce they knew that I didn't know? And that began
Love
a quest
that.
To really figure it all out. And that is part of, in that, you know, 10, 15 years of figuring it out, I've developed a number of methods that I used actually when I was in corporate world and then have taken it out to work on my own. So I'm not working in that corporate container where it's, you know, we're trying to advance the corporation versus I like to work with the whole person. And that's kind of what led me here. And then you mentioned that high performance coach. What's a high performance coach? High Performance Institute certifies high performance coaches, and people may know the name Brendon Burchard, and that is kind of very much his legacy and his coaching, and actually I've worked with him. And high performance coaching is very much about learning the five traits that masters, top CEOs, top athletes master in life so that they can perform better, you know, with less effort and obviously feel fulfillment along the way. And that is kind of how I topped off my corporate career of all kinds of coaching. I wanted to certify in my own mind and feel that I was competent in really having a full methodology to help folks.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that. Well, you know, I know that you work with lots of entrepreneurs and small business owners and, you know, lots of high-achieving professionals. And Leonk and I know this from our work, too, that there is a thread of loneliness that or feeling alone, I should say, that runs through that. I think for those of us in the entrepreneurial world or if we own our own business. And can you speak to that a little bit? I mean, do you find that a lot with the people you work with and how do you see that manifest?
Definitely I think, you know, I, as an entrepreneur and having my businesses, as well as a lot of my friends and clients, you know, you are in alone because it is your business or your endeavor or your vision and mission. And how I see that manifest is a lot of, you know, self-doubt and worth issues and courage issues. The vast majority of my clients, even though they've been highly successful at what they've done prior, they're taking on a new endeavor, be it their own business or or a new book, or just deciding to retire and get off the hamster wheel. And what comes up for them is that the shoulda, woulda, couldas, self-worth, and then actually having the courage to actually take that step that they know intuitively is the next step for them. And it's so easy to stay on what you know isn't quite right because it isn't so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't break what isn't
right.
Broken.
Right. Well, you know, that's that old saying that I always tell Leonka, you know, what is it? This is a Southernism, you know, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know, you know. So it's same idea, right, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. And so that's, I find a lot of people will, they're in a couple things I see a lot of is that whole sense of procrastination and it's actually a resistance mechanism. And the other one is confusion. People that have been very successful and are wanting to move into something else, they know a lot. And so there's so many possibilities or so many options.
Right.
You use confusion as a way to resist that next step. Well, I don't know which or what or how, so I can't take the next step. And it's very much, it's kind of.
Deborah and I was going to say, Deborah and I have a lot of experience around that, especially when we were first kicking off the show. A lot of, even our own stuff would come up, even our worthiness issues would come up for us. And this is kind of revealing on my part too. We knew how to do all these things, but yet we wanted to stay in a state of either confusion or what if we're not going to be well received, right? And none of that was
absolutely
true. None of it. It was just the lie we kept buying ourselves, selling ourselves, and buying.
And we're,
go ahead, Mary.
I was just going to say that, you know, we're really good, most all of us, at rationalizing some reason to not step into that next, something that's confusing or requires courage or newness. And it's nothing bad. That's just typical. We just have to be aware of that and challenge ourselves beyond it.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you a question that kind of adds on to what Leonka just mentioned. And she was right. You know, we had been doing this exact work for someone else for years. I mean, we knew it. You know, we knew it up one side and down the other. And yet when it came down to us doing it for ourselves, you know, all this other stuff came up, you know, just what you were talking about, the self-confidence, the doubt, the courage issues, the, you know, resistance. Can you speak to that? I mean, I'm sure there are many people that you've worked with and many people listening who seem to be able to do it for other people with no problem. Mm-hmm. But when they, you know, bring it into their own business as an entrepreneur, why do we make that so hard?
I think there's a couple of things. At least this is what I've seen in my coaching practice. There's when we're working for someone else or with an organization, we're kind of we are under the mistaken belief that we are protected, and there is kind of a safety net there, so we don't necessarily have to look at ourselves, and we go along with the flow. And it's safe. As much as corporate life or working with larger organizations isn't a guarantee anymore. I think we all know that mergers and acquisitions and businesses closing, it happens a great deal. There's that illusion mm-hmm. that it's safe. So we don't look at ourselves.
Right.
Then if you go mm-hmm. out on your own, generally you're making a statement in what you're doing about who you are. It's either something you really believe in, you're passionate about, you really want to do. So you've exposed yourself, and now that brings up all that stuff you may not have dealt with that was easy to kind of keep under the rug when you worked in a company or with someone else. And that's part of why mm-hmm. that comes up so rampantly. Because most people, when you decide to go out and do something, it's something you are at some level passionate about. Otherwise, you're yes. not going to succeed. And mm-hmm. so that's obviously opening mm-hmm. yourself up.
Right. Right. Yeah. And that just, you know, what you're saying, that willingness to actually allow yourself to be seen. And of course, in our case, revealed.
know, right.
Because as we were on our journey of, you know, transitioning from doing it for someone else to doing it for ourselves. I mean, you're right. Everything but the kitchen sink came up, you know, for both of us. and we were like, we were producing shows actually every day. So we didn't have a whole lot of time just to, you know, I mean, we really, that's why now, you know, we know some of our processes work so well, because we were having to clear and use processes, you know, sometimes on a daily basis, sometimes on an hourly basis, you know, with what we were being faced. And, you know, it wasn't always internal. Of course, there were external challenges. And, you know, when you're doing it for yourself, you're right. All of a sudden it's this, well, what are people going to, you know, what are they going to think about us or our image or, you know, I mean, we've kind of blown past all that. But yeah, mm-hmm. in the beginning, you know, I think entrepreneurs and business owners, you're right. I mean, the stuff that they, I think that's a great point to make and, you know, and really support other people in looking at, you know, these are some of the things that you might expect, right, when you start up your own, that maybe there's going to be parts of yourself that you haven't. Of course, you know, I would consider that shadow parts, but there may be parts of yourself that you haven't looked at, dealt with. I love the way you put that, Mary.
Oh, thank you. And I know I have a couple of clients that in doing this, what we talked about is, you know, they look like, you know, instantaneously they would be successful, and they were very, very surprised to see their own stuff come up. And we had to kind of step back a little bit and work with, you know, you are putting yourself out there, so let's help you. And they found, the other thing they found, aside from revealing themselves, the fact that they actually got off kind of a corporate or someone else controlling the hamster wheel. So they were up to their own discretion about pace and choice and process. And they found that lack of structure or the opportunity to do anything or nothing absolutely mm-hmm. was a challenge. Just really, there's a huge mindset shift going from working for or with others and then working for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Boy, do we know that one, right, Lee?
Yes. Yes, we do.
well, but I wouldn't change
that.
It.
Yeah. Well,
the structure, and that's I can totally relate with.
Well, and it reminds me of, you know, that old saying about, you know, it's not actually the journey, you know, it's about it's not the destination, it's about the journey, and it's about who you become as you're reaching, you know, that passion, that place that you want to be, you know, because gosh, Leonka and I have often, I mean, we talk, you know, several times a week, and we often reflect about, holy smoke, you know, the risks that we've taken in our business and the courage that we've had to have. We're actually different people, you know, mm-hmm. we're very different, mm-hmm. and we're really liking who we are, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, I know that I talk and I speak about when people say what's high performance, I prefer to say, you know, high performance is living into your full self, being from and to your potential, whatever that might be. And I think we all need to be aware if we're not the same person we were when we were 20. And the whole idea in my mind of life is to experience that self-growth, that self-development and the journey and be your full mm-hmm. potential, whatever that might be.
Yeah. That's it. You know, we talk about presence and awareness a lot on the show, and you just said it. I mean, you know, it's not just getting from A to B. It's about being present, you know, all along in between. And, you know, the wonderful, magical, sometimes devastating, you know, all the things that happen, you know, like in our journey last year, you know, when we were, you know, hitting it so hard and we were interviewing every day and, we had so many challenges come up, and one of them actually, you know, talk about, you know, real life and death. I mean, my sister passed during the reveal, interview series. And, you know, I'm almost glad that I was involved in that. We were at the time, you know, we were interviewing these wonderful thought leaders, you know, every mm-hmm. day, and mm-hmm. I was hearing such great information and encouragement, and so it was, you know, it made the whole transition of my sister somewhat, you know, easier by all these wonderful coaches and leaders, and you know, and hearing their thoughts every day. You know, I didn't get lost in the you know, in the deep, deep, you know, grief of it. I mean, not that we shouldn't go through it, but, you know, I think that's what's wonderful about life now and all the support that's available to us and all the coaches like you is that, you know, we no longer have to suffer. You know, I love that idea
or
that
do it alone.
You know, pain mm-hmm. is inevitable sometimes, but suffering is optional, right?
Right.
Right. And I think it's a hidden secret. Well, it's not a secret to us coaches, unless, you know, that all of us, and my mother's had this saying from when she was a small girl. She goes, we tend to teach or do what we want to learn the most about. And I think the secret
say
that
all the time.
I would think
love
that, you know,
that, Mary.
You know, coaching in an interesting way can actually be selfish. And I don't want to say that we're selfish, but as we're helping others, we're helping ourselves and in turn helping them.
Mm-hmm.
You're so right, Mary. Mm-hmm. You're so right. You know, it is. Well, we were talking just the other day and I realized, I mean, I'm, you know, talking to her, help supporting her through a process, you know, and I said right in the middle of what I was saying, I said, Leonka, I know I'm saying this for me too, you know. And so, yeah, I think a great coach really acknowledges that, you know, what we most, you know, we teach what we most want to learn. I think you're so right on about that. You know, I wanted to ask you, with the people that you work with, and you know, let's face it, I mean, stress is just part of our, you know, humanity now, I guess. It's just so much a part of our lives. And how do you support clients, you know, around the idea of stress? Because, you know, as you say, you know, our world is changing so fast, and we feel so, you know, we just feel so pressured to stay up on all the top technology and, you know, be the, you know, whiz bang and know everything. And how do you support your clients around stress and that area?
I was thinking of trying to make a joke, but it didn't come to me. So let me just be a stress is.
That happens to me all the time.
I'm under stress right now, so I couldn't come up with a joke. No. I know I help folks, and this is how I identify stress. Stress to me is when there's a gap in maybe what you want to your, from what you want to what you expect. There's, for me, stress comes from when there's a gap in expectation or wants or needs. And so I approach it one of two ways. One is to go in there and say, you know, we talk about what is the expectation so we can see that gap and identify the gap and talk about the gap. The other, and it's very prevalent now because we're in the information technology space where I can't even remember the number I heard recently, but there's something, you know, more than a million new pieces of information put available on the internet a day, some astronomical amount. And I come from the person that wants to know everything so I feel competent. And there was a point in time 5-10 years ago, I went, you know, there's only so much I can know, and I know where to get it if I need it. And the other technique I teach with my clients is we identify.
Well, that feels like a relief, Mary. Let's just pause on that one for a minute.
Right?
I might need to write that one down.
I encourage people, you know, look at what you're trying to achieve and what you're about, and identify if you're in a business, let's say you are a restaurateur, you know, think of 2, 3, or 4 either, you know, blogs or speakers or key sources of information you want to see and follow. But limit, so you're not subscribing, unfortunately, to Reveal, you know, subscribe to the Reveal show. But don't subscribe to everything, because you can overwhelm yourself so you take nothing in. But select a few key resources and manage yourself. And the other thing I have people do is a technological free day. Put the phone down.
Ooh. What would that be like, Leonka?
I don't know. I haven't had one in so long, honestly. Actually, I did have a week where my computer and my phone and everything seemed to blow up around me. And I just was like, okay, I'm just going to let it be. Like, you know, we had to wait for my phone to get shipped and my computer did some update and it just stopped working. So I just was like, okay, I guess this is a sign from the universe.
That's right. And, you know, I just have to confess right now, and Leonka, you know, witnessed this with me last year. I dropped my laptop, and I had not backed it up. It had everything in the world on it you could possibly think of. And the hard drive, you know, crashed, and there was no repairing it. And I literally, I mean, Leonka can tell, I mean, it took Leonka days to pull me out of the hole. I felt as if somebody had died or a part of me. I mean, it was really, it's almost ridiculous when I hear myself say it now, but I almost shut down, Mary. It had become, you know, it just felt like, you know, everything that was on that computer was all of me. And so the universe kept prolonging it, you know, Apple couldn't do this and they couldn't do that and it was taking them too long and, you know, and I was a wreck. And Leonka can tell you, I mean, I would have never thought that I would have reacted to, you know, my being unable to access what I absolutely thought I had to have. And as it turned out, guess what? You know, the majority of all that is gone. I'm still here. I'm still living. I'm still working.
And in fact, I would even say you hit a reset button on yourself.
I think you're right, Lee.
Because we're so close. But I think that's also what Mary's saying here, is that when you have a technology-free day or a forced-upon-you time, you almost get to a place where you can reset. And that is a huge for stress relief. Is that right, Mary?
Absolutely. The reset. I mean, just if you take a day off, you are reducing that constant ping or the sound of when you get a message or a text. And you start to just slow down yourself and your brain so you can center and listen to the true you. And if it's a long-term, if your technology is, I can relate to, because I lost a hard drive about 2 years ago, and it helped me reset to realize what I really, really needed or didn't need. It helped me realize how much I had relied on who I was and how I dealt with life via technology. So it's a great reflection once you can get over the crisis of, oh, my goodness, I've lost all my work for 2 years. Now what do I do?
Right.
So it obviously encourages us all to back it up. But it's wonderful. Again, it's a reflection just like a crisis is in your life. It really helps you to center.
Yeah, I love what you're saying, because it made me think when you said, your brain actually is listening for the ping of the iPhone or the ping of the new email coming in. And so without that, rather than being so focused on listening to what's coming in from outside, we might, what a concept, actually get to focus a little more internally, right?
I like to use Sunday mornings for that. I know I need, I'm kind of an introvert by nature, so that means I recharge by being alone, and I like being in nature or being by myself. And I spend that time technology free, be it maybe just an hour, ideally I like the 2 or 3 hours, and just reflect on, where I'm at, what I've been doing, what's been great, what isn't so great, and just really, we all have a deep sense of intuition. And our centered self knows, and it's a great time to reconnect, because it's so easy to get on the quote-unquote hamster wheel, and that's a great way to stay away from being aware and listening to what your soul is telling you.
Thank you for sharing that, Mary. I think the word intuition has been coming up everywhere.
I mean, there's
definitely a reason why we're going this little bit of path and talking about how clouded the technology can make us to where we're not even relying upon our own awareness, or we're going to our own self's center for our own intuition to really get the guidance that we're seeking so desperately outside of ourselves.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say.
You remember the joke?
No, I didn't. I will after we have had this discussion, and then I'll have to start again.
Of course.
I know that recently I was reading, and I can't recall necessarily the author, but it really struck me that, it's really important for each of us to be self-referential rather than external referential, which means you don't, it's so easy to look at, the neighbor next door that got the new car or somebody's great post on Facebook and following that technology. And to really, we need to be self-referential and think about ourselves and look to ourselves for our own guidance. And, that's just recently hit me as just so, so important. So I try to do that at least every day.
Well, that leads me right into the next question, and that would be with all of the clients and the people you work with. I think you're right, our intuition and our knowing. How do you help people or coach people on trusting themselves, trusting that, whatever that voice is that they hear, that, it's not coming from who knows where, but it's actually, and Leonka has a word for it. What do you call it? Your soul voice? What do you call it, Leonka?
Yeah, soul voice.
It's your inner voice. Yeah.
How do you know there? So, how do you know that that's what's really going on?
How do you teach people to trust themselves, Mary?
easily. I tell them just to do it. No. Trust, self-trust. And self-worth, I think, if we peel the onion, the proverbial onion of what's going on with folks, as you get deeper in our who we are and our core, we all come from a place where we need to trust ourselves and believe in ourselves and have self-worth. And how I, there's a number of ways to help folks. One is the phrase, and it really hit me years ago and was very, very helpful for me because I suffered from really strong self-worth issues where I needed to do more, be more, get more, have more, still not being enough. And the phrase is, you are enough. You are enough. Mm-hmm. As you were created, you are enough. There's no need to seek more and be whatever that more might be. And that phrase, and I work with folks on that, that we just look at you are enough and identifying that you are enough. And we talk, we can take evidence, we can talk about achievements, accomplishments, the goods, the bads, but the concept of you are enough as you are and trust that, that inner voice, it's there. And you have to learn to kind of tune into it. It's a practice. It's not something that you just know. But it's a sense of being centered. I help people center themselves and just listen to that voice. And it's there.
Well, I just think you're just so spot on with that. The whole intuition piece, and when you're talking about trusting yourself and the whole self-worth and knowing and valuing, you know, it doesn't happen overnight either. I mean, I want to make sure that we're, you know, letting our listeners know. I mean, it's a process,
right?
Wouldn't you say, Mary? I mean, it's a process. I mean, it takes,
absolutely.
It's
a process. I mean, don't want to necessarily declare how many decades I've been on the earth, but it's been several, more than several. And, you know, I am different than I was years ago. And, yes, I've tried all the how did I get to where I'm at. And I still, all of us, will always work on self-worth and trust issues. And it is a process. And it gets better with time. Mm-hmm. You know, I've read probably every personal or help book available 2 and 3 times. Yes, I've done therapy, and we all continue to grow, and it is a process. We are not, my mom used to have a phrase, and I don't know if I'll remember it correctly, it's wisdom is wasted on the energy of the youth or on the energy of the old. I can't recall, but I think you know that phrase.
I do,
that wisdom,
yeah. Well, you know, you had mentioned earlier in the call the five traits of the masters,
mm-hmm.
and of people who are really mastering their life and their work, and yeah,
right.
Can you talk about some of those traits?
Mm-hmm. Well, sure, definitely.
List them and maybe we can look them up. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it seems fairly simple once you see it, but it is amazing the value. There are five traits or habits. I like to call them traits that. If you master these, you're far, far more productive, far, far more successful. And it seems pretty simple once you look at it, but the amount of work you can do in any of those and that the depth at which it goes is extensive. The first is around clarity. And the concept of clarity is not just knowing what you want to do. It is knowing who you are, just like we've been talking about intuition and revealing your true self, and knowing why you do what you do. So talking a little bit about like why coaches coach, you know, we're coaching about that which we want to learn or grow around.
Mm-hmm.
So that first concept is clarity. The second is really about energy, and we're talking both mental and physical energy. I think if we all, we all have that inner critic in our head that if we let the inner critic, you know, wear on us too long, it wears out our mental stamina. So we talk about having and work on having energy both mentally as well as physically. You know, physically is about health and wellness and really taking care of your body. But we also talk about taking care of your mind, and that's around mindset and staying in a positive, abundant mindset. The third area we talk about is courage. And a lot of people think that, a number of my clients find that when I bring up the word courage, they physically, their stomach kind of tightens. I don't necessarily know why courage reacts that strongly for folks, but I think it's because people equate courage being the opposite of fear. And I don't necessarily frame it that way. Courage is being willing to step into your in your discomfort zone, be it whatever that might be, and willing to take a risk. And we talk a lot about courage, and that, again, works a lot on mindset and then tips and techniques for courage. We talk about influence.
Well, but before you move on to that one, Mary, I just wanted to say, you know, when you said courage, what I thought about was immediately, you know, when you said a lot of people, they get kind of a pit in their stomach. When you said courage, I immediately thought about, oh, you know, doing something that I don't want to do, you know. So it's exactly what you said, right? I mean, we're having to move into discomfort, you know, in order to get beyond our, you know, where we are now and to where we want to be.
And we work, and I work with folks about really, we do kind of a courage circle, if you can imagine kind of a bullseye or concentric circles. We talk about expanding that comfort zone, and that increases your courage. And depending, you know, we size it. We size the fear, and we work on courage. And really, it's been very, very effective, because I think if we don't identify something, we often make it worse than it really is. And so that's a key tip around courage when we work.
Oh, I love that tip. Say that again, Mary. We are me and our listeners need to hear that. If you don't identify, say that again.
Yeah, if you don't identify, you know, what you're fearful of, we always go to the most negative. So you need to identify how really severe it is. You know, are you just worried that maybe a piece of mail will not arrive at time? Or are you really actually being chased by a tiger and life and death is on the line? So we help identify and size that concern, and then obviously work on the courage around it. It's human nature, for whatever reason, to go to the most negative and to catastrophize. And so if you identify and get clear, it helps you to not catastrophize, except when you might need to, which is pretty rare.
If there is an animal chasing you, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, I think we all talked about our limbic brain and the primitive brain. I mean, we were created to survive, and part of that was to not be eaten. And, you know, that still works. And under stress, we go back to the core limbic brain. And so, of course, if you're not kind of using your mind to identify what you're worried or concerned about, you have that limbic reaction of run, you know, fight, flight, or a freeze.
Right.
The fourth trait habits and areas that we focus on are the idea of influence. And the idea of influence is we're communal beings. We live on the earth with others, and we work with others. And the most successful folks are most successful at being influential, which means you help others move or see or do things as you see it. So if you're a small business owner or an entrepreneur, I mean, that's a huge skill set to be effective at, as well as just think of today, we obviously have the elections going on. Having influence and being able to move others with you on your vision or mission is just a key area to master. And all of that then summates into, we talk about productivity, getting more results with less effort. And, you know, productivity is not just about mastering